The robber barons. The great American West situation. Well, now that Jay Gould has departed the scene, it's time to turn west. The development of the Great West during the 1870s and 1880s continued unabated. Its outward effect was one of extraordinary material progress, whose wonders were perpetually recited by the pioneers, while obstacles or deficiencies in the total plan were dismissed with brimming optimism, which not only was found in Americans in general, but very prominently found in Westerners. The Westerners had come from the East because, first of all, they were chafing under the restrictions of a well-organized society. And second, the Westerner had faith that with equal chance in a new area, one would be able to gain wealth that they had failed to win in the East. So Greeley's Go West, Young Man is taken to heart here. The rapid growth of the whole Western region, the swift industrialization was achieved by the use of large machines, enmeshed even the most hard-headed businessmen in the dreams of new cities, farms, and of course, railroads. In addition, of course, the hope of trade with China and Japan. Yet the speed of the West was but the result of higher technical knowledge attained slowly in the eastern United States as well as in Europe. So the plan of exploitation, which soon stamped its character upon the West, was that of great machines that were quickly introduced to an area where only a short time before had been Native American land or Mexican territory. The new railroad line, the Central Pacific, which had crossed the Sierra Nevada mountains in 1865, represented the highest engineering knowledge of the period. In 1872, the tremendous tunneling of the Sutro and Mackay and that freed the Comstock lode from its underground tomb all reflect the growing mechanization of deep mining for gold and silver. In Montana, Marcus Daly and William A. Clark sank their great copper mines only a few years after the Indian campaigns of General Custer and General Miles had cleared the country. So in the wild Rockies, amid barren terrain, industries of giant size sprang up almost overnight. The industrial plan of the Great West, in its tempo and dimension, can only be likened to the operations of the Russian engineers in the 1920s and 1930s that built the steel centers that linked, that created, as far as Russia was concerned, a likeness to England's Manchester or to America's Pittsburgh there on the Russian steppes. But in the absence of any social formula other than that of rugged individualism, the leaders who carried forward the exploitation of the last American frontier, at least until we start going into space, were chosen simply by themselves, first as survivors in the struggle of ruse and violence. Second, by virtue of stronger equipment and capital. Faced with such mighty arms in the hands of a few self-chosen leaders, wielding machine technology and political influence based on their Western vast capital, the crowd of pioneers who flocked to the West quickly found themselves reduced to the condition of helpless subjects. We always have the discussion with the 49ers. When they discover gold in California, everybody heads west, and by the time they get there, it's all really been locked down, locked up, and taken care of. There really wasn't much you could do except go into the towns and try to scrape out an existence of some sort. And so that's what happens here as well. And we've traced some of these people before. You're going to hear these names again, Huntington and his Pacific associates. And we've already gone through their interesting background as they created the Central Pacific Railroad. So we're going to go into detail with those people. The adventures of the exploiters who seized the main prizes, which were mineral deposits, forest lands, important mountain passes, which is a key to railroad success, and of course, valley roads or valley railroad lines. Their successes seemed far more magical than the exploits of Drew and Vanderbilt and Rockefeller and all of the others. Because they're making tunnels and pulling down mountains and going over mountains and doing all sorts of different things. And other, you know, and the other big industrialists in the eastern U.S. cities. In the West, the contests for success and dominance were fought in the open, rather than with intrigues in stuffy boardrooms. To be sure, there were some incredible hazards to overcome, particularly nature. You know, and you talk about when we discussed the creation of the first transcontinental railroad. You know, you look at all the stuff that the Union Pacific had to do, but it was mostly flat and hot, whereas the Central Pacific had to go through the mountains. And then, of course, you have rival exploiters. Just as the rail lines, you know, and other things that they did in the East, people would try and do, they're going to try and do that as well in the West. But this is why the mountain passes become so important, because you can't make a parallel line going through California to the coast unless you go through three mountain passes: Summit Peaks, Yuma, and Needles. Don't care what else you got to do, you got to go through those areas. And in the West, as is elsewhere, there were railroad barons: Collis P. Huntington, Henry Villard, and James Hill, organizing regional traffic in the giant systems. They held the key to the West's whole economic situation, and they feared no one. Even Jay Gould was forced to bow to Huntington in order to move his freight into California. Now, we've talked about, or I've talked about that from Gould's point of view. Now we're going to see it from Huntington's point of view, ultimately. So we are now moving from Jay Gould, the Mephistopheles of Wall Street, to Collis P. Huntington and his Pacific associates, and he is known as the Caesar Borgia of California. Now the sources for this: The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, and The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us in some manner. Thank you very much.